In the latest chapter of our collective nightmare, we find ourselves in a world where weather radars are under siege by misguided zealots. Yes, you heard that right. Doppler radars, those innocuous towers that help predict rain and save lives from tornadoes, are now considered weather weapons by a militia group named Veterans on Patrol. This group apparently believes these radars have malevolent powers, though what those might be is anyone's guess. The Southern Poverty Law Center has pegged this group as an anti-government militia. Their current mission? To conduct penetration drills on NEXRAD radar sites to expose vulnerabilities and ultimately dismantle them. Because nothing screams freedom quite like destroying infrastructure designed to warn us about impending doom from the sky, emails from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Security Office reveal that they are fully aware of this absurd threat. The FBI is supposedly involved too, although confirmation seems as elusive as common sense in this scenario. The NOAA advises its staff to adopt a buddy system when working at remote sites, because when your job is predicting thunderstorms, you should definitely worry more about being ambushed by conspiracy theorists than lightning strikes. Adding insult to injury, this all unfolds against a backdrop of staffing shortages at the National Weather Service due to layoffs and retirements. Nearly 100 vacancies for technicians who would normally keep these radar systems running smoothly remain unfilled thanks to a hiring freeze. It's almost poetic how the very people who claim to protect America are intent on dismantling one of its critical safety nets. But then again, maybe we shouldn't be surprised anymore when chaos masquerades as patriotism and logic takes a backseat to paranoia. So here we sit, watching clouds roll in while some folks plot their next move against imaginary foes armed with nothing more sinister than data on precipitation levels.
Welcome to White People Problems, where we dive into the pressing issues that keep white folks up at night. Today, we're tackling an incident at a Philadelphia sports bar owned by Barstool Sports founder Dave Portnoy. Now, if you haven't heard of Barstool Sports, congratulations on having a life. So here's what went down. A Temple University student thought it would be hilarious to order bottle service with a side of anti-Semitism. You know, because nothing says, I'm sophisticated, like paying too much for vodka while simultaneously offending an entire community. The bar offers customizable signs as part of their high-end beverage experience. Because what's more luxurious than expressing your personal brand of ignorance in LED lights? The sign read, FK the Jews. Classy move, right? It's like they were trying to win gold in the Olympics of poor taste. Dave Portnoy, who is Jewish and owns the place, was understandably furious. I mean, it's not every day you open your bar's Instagram and see hate speech trending alongside last night's karaoke highlights. Portnoy decided to turn this fiasco into a teaching moment. And how do you educate privileged college kids about historical atrocities? By sending them on an all-expenses-paid trip to Auschwitz. Because nothing screams accountability like turning hate into a travel opportunity. Who knew ignorance had frequent flyer miles? Meanwhile, Temple University suspended the student involved and issued a statement condemning anti-Semitism. It's nice to see universities taking a stand against discrimination, right after they've checked with their PR team and legal advisors. And just when you think this story couldn't get any whiter, the Anti-Defamation League steps in with their own investigation. Because what better way to handle offensive behavior than forming committees and issuing strongly worded statements? In conclusion, if you're going out for bottle service tonight, maybe stick to writing happy birthday or congrats on your divorce. Leave the hate speech at home, or better yet, leave it nowhere, because it's 2023 and we've got bigger problems than your need for attention. That's all for today's edition of White People Problems. Remember, next time you're customizing a sign at a bar, choose your words wisely. You never know when they'll come back as an educational field trip.
Ah, the bear attack, the quintessential symbol of nature's wrath and humanity's helplessness. But fear not, for today's tale isn't about an actual bear mauling its way through civilization. No, this is a different kind of beast entirely. The relentless assault on our senses by digital advertising. In a world where attention spans are shorter than ever, we find ourselves trapped in a jungle of pop-ups and pre-rolls. Imagine you're trying to watch a video, perhaps something trivial to distract from the existential dread, and suddenly, you're ambushed by an ad that refuses to load. The irony is palpable. Technology designed to captivate us instead leaves us staring at spinning wheels and frozen screens. The real kicker? Even when these ads do manage to claw their way into existence, they often come roaring with audio levels that could wake the dead, or at least your neighbors. Should you survive this auditory onslaught, there's always the chance the video itself never starts. A fitting metaphor for modern life. All noise and no substance. So here we are, grappling with first world problems, as if they're grizzly bears ready to pounce. We rate our frustration on scales because that's what society has come to. A series of surveys asking how relevant this inconvenience was to our day-to-day survival. Spoiler alert, it's not very relevant at all. But fret not, as we continue down this path paved with buffering symbols and aggressive marketing tactics, let's remember that these minor nuisances are but appetizers in the dystopian feast we've been cooking up for ourselves. Bon appétit!
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the great mysteries of life, the universe, and everything else with a side of dry humor. Today, we're talking about Cosmos 482, a Soviet space probe that decided it wasn't quite ready for Venusian real estate and is now making an unscheduled return to Earth after more than 50 years. This story comes from CNN's article titled, "A piece of a Soviet vehicle is due to crash back to Earth." Now, let's consider this. A hunk of metal launched into space during the Cold War era has been aimlessly orbiting our planet for decades. It's like a cosmic boomerang, sent off with grand intentions only to come back because it missed its target by an entire planet. One might say it's having its own existential crisis. Imagine being designed for Venus, a planet with an atmosphere so hostile that it makes Earth's worst weather look like a day at the beach, only to end up stuck in Earth's orbit for half a century. It's as if Cosmos 482 was meant for greatness but settled for mediocrity, much like your high school bandmate who now plays at local pizza joints. There's something almost poetic about this piece of space debris possibly surviving re-entry thanks to its heat shield, a little like wearing SPF 1000 sunscreen while hurtling through the atmosphere at thousands of miles per hour. It's got better odds than most objects in space, which tend to disintegrate upon hitting our thick atmospheric blanket. Yet here it is, potentially poised to make an unceremonious thud somewhere between 52 degrees north and south latitudes. The chance of it causing any harm is minimal, 1 in 25,000 they say, but isn't there something beautifully absurd about worrying over such improbable odds? After all, you're statistically more likely to be struck by lightning or win the lottery on the same day you meet your doppelganger and find out they're also named Steve. If this rogue capsule does decide to land on solid ground rather than taking a dip in one of our oceans, which cover 70% of our planet, it's advised not to touch it, because nothing says existential dread quite like discovering your new lawn ornament is leaking toxic fuel from another era. Ultimately, Cosmos 482 reminds us that what goes up must come down, or at least hang around long enough until gravity decides otherwise. It's a testament to human ambition and fallibility. We shoot for the stars, but often forget about cleaning up after ourselves. In conclusion, the cosmos may not care about us or our plans, as evidenced by this wayward probe, but perhaps that's precisely why we should keep reaching out into the void, even if just occasionally reminded that sometimes things don't go according to plan. And so we continue spinning on this rock called Earth, pondering life's absurdities, while hoping no Soviet relics crash our next backyard barbecue.
In the capitalist fever dream, the relentless pursuit of profit transforms every human struggle into an opportunity for exploitation. The article paints a picture of a society so obsessed with monetary gain that even the most personal battles, like cancer, become another cog in the profit machine. Kelly Spill's journey is emblematic of this madness. Diagnosed with stage 3 rectal cancer at 28, she faced not only the terror of disease, but also the cold calculus of medical economics. Her initial treatment plan, a brutal cocktail of chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, was designed less for her well-being and more for its profitability. Each procedure is a lucrative transaction in the healthcare marketplace. Enter dostarlimab, an immunotherapy drug hailed as a breakthrough therapy. Its miraculous ability to shrink tumors offers hope not just to patients, but to pharmaceutical giants eager to capitalize on this new frontier. The drug's development is celebrated as a triumph of innovation over illness, yet it underscores a darker truth. In this dystopian reality, life-saving treatments are commodities first, and cures second. The study involving 117 cancer patients becomes a spectacle of statistical manipulation, where success rates are paraded like stock market gains. A staggering 80% avoid further invasive treatments, a victory touted by researchers and investors alike. But behind these numbers lies a chilling narrative. Those who don't respond are collateral damage in this grand experiment. This obsession with metrics extends beyond medicine into every facet of life. As colorectal cancer cases rise among young adults, a demographic shift ripe for exploitation, the focus remains on expanding markets rather than addressing root causes or prevention. Patients become data points, their survival rates serve as marketing tools. Even as Kelly Spill celebrates her remission and growing family, her story serves as both inspiration and indictment. It's a reminder that beneath every medical miracle lies an industry driven by profit margins, where human lives are secondary to shareholder value. In this capitalist nightmare, science isn't about saving lives. It's about selling hope at premium prices. Every breakthrough is leveraged for maximum economic impact, while societal issues fester unchecked. This relentless pursuit leaves us teetering on the brink, not just medically, but morally, as we trade compassion for commerce in our quest for endless growth. Herein lies the true tragedy. Advancements meant to heal instead highlight how deeply entrenched we are in systems valuing wealth over wellness. In such a world, even miracles come with price tags attached, a bleak testament to humanity's misplaced priorities amid its fevered dreams of prosperity without purpose.